I'm Mike Vardy, and this is the Productivityist Podcast. I've known my next guest for quite some time, and I love her work. We're going to get into the story of how we met and everything in this episode. But first off, let's talk about Deborah LaFranc, the guest on this week's episode. Deborah's a graphic journalist and memory collector, and she uses pens and papers to capture stories from everyday life. One fun way that she does this is by creating sketch notes, which is a phrase popularized by Mike Rohde, in fact, invented by him back in the day. Sorry, Mike. Not that far back in the day. She also creates graphic presentations as well, presentations that she gets exposed to. We talk about that in this episode as well. The visual stories that she shares helps her remember the nuggets of wisdoms that have been shared. And her company, Visual Life Stories, helps other people to collect their memories, whether it be a business, travel, or related to personal stories. We talk about how she incorporates visuals into her bullet journal in this episode. There's a bonus episode that talks about this for Patreon supporters. I'll talk about that in the following the interview. But there's just so much that Deborah has to share, and I want to get to it right away. So here's my conversation with Deborah LaFranc on the Productivityist Podcast. Enjoy. You know, I would have much rather had the opportunity to do this via video. But first off, as we're recording this, we have snowish in Victoria. Deborah, thanks for joining me today.
You're welcome. So, we definitely have snow out at my end of the peninsula.
So the reason that video would be great for this is because of what you do. And we've worked together on a few occasions. And the first, just to give people a bit of background, is the first time I met you was at Social Media Camp. When you basically, you graphically journaled my talk. I could say sketch noted, but, you know,
I'll talk about the definitions of the different kinds.
Sure. We'll get into that in a minute. Yeah. But you, myself and CC Chapman, we were there and, you know, I did my talk and I watched you out of the corner of my eye, like kind of sketch things out. And that's the only time I've done that talk, by the way. So it's great. And then I got to keep the actual big version of the talk. It was on a huge mural. But then you did something that really impressed the hell out of me. And I still talk about this to this day is, and I think that I want to talk about like making an impact with what you do, right off the get go. But this is what made an impact for me almost immediately is you handed me a business card, but on the business card was a miniaturized version of my talk. And you did it the next day. Obviously you didn't do it at the time, but I was blown away by that. And so why don't you tell everybody first off what it is that you do, you know, with your work, and then maybe the background to that story a little bit, because I know you've told me why that happened and how maybe it was not necessarily the most intentional thing that would have happened initially.
Yeah. Well, thanks very much for having me on this podcast. My work, I sort of call myself two different things. I'm a graphic journalist and I'm a memory collector. So the graphic journalist part is about gathering stories and information, you know, like a journalist does, right? The written part. But then I take that and I combine it with images, you know, in the case of your graphic recording at the Social Media Camp, you know, and combining some iconic kind of sketches, some just little quick drawings. I also do some of my work combining photographs and maps when I'm doing things in more of a digital format. So that's kind of the graphic journalist part. The memory collector part is really like helping people at meetings and presentations remember what they saw and what they heard. And and I also do the memory collecting a little bit deeper in terms of people's personal stories. At specific events, something that's happening. I sometimes do someone's whole life, or I do a specific part of their life. And I also do travel stories. They're all kind of done in this sort of illustrated journal, graphic journalist style. And in terms of the Social Media Camp experience there, the way that happened was quite funny here, right? Because, you know, at that point, I was early on in my career. Well, I was early on in my new business as my company, Visual Life Stories. And so I had, you know, I still had I had some little business cards that I'd made, but mostly I had the business cards from my previous career as a landscape architect, which I still do a bit of that. And so, you know, when I finished the recording, I had, you know, I had taped up beside my recording some business cards, but I quickly ran out of them. And so I thought, okay, I got to do something. So I went and I had taken photographs of all the charts that I had done that day. I think I'd done four big charts, including two for CC Chapman. And I then went to Staples and picked up a, you know, do-it-yourself business card thing, came back to my office, uploaded the photographs, you know, and then just printed them out of I do have a color printer, so printed them out of my printer, and the next day was able to hand those out. And yeah, it seemed to make quite an impact, actually. And I it's funny because I did that again just recently at an event at the summit at the pier, and where Sir Ken Robinson was speaking, and it was a youth event. And so the next day I was able to go back to the, you know, again, it only works when you're doing a 2-day event, right? And sure. So the next day went back and was able to hand out to all the youth a card that showed some of the words that they talked about and that they had developed through their working workshops throughout the day. And then more to the adults, I'd given the Sir Ken, because there were a lot of adult volunteers, so I'd given them their cards. So anyway, it's a kind of a fun way to kind of keep the story alive, keep the memory alive.
Yep, absolutely. And what I loved is that, you know, I mean, you've also done some stuff with us at the, Chris Guillebeau up here. Productivity's brought him up here. And again, to be able to like kind of capture the essence, and I think that's the really important, yeah, is the essence of a presentation and the essence of I think that to me is really powerful, because a lot of people, what they'll do, and I think the interesting is this day and age, people, a lot of people are spending their time filming these kind of things, or they're, right, you know, taking pictures, but they're not actually paying attention. Mm-hmm. How does your work, like when you know, how does that help foster that, you know, that attention? Because what you're doing is basically you're actively listening, obviously, and maybe walk through your process. And then what's happening is that the people that are, you know, with that kind of thing in mind, I think you're actually saving a lot of people time, because they can just say, okay, I'm going to pay attention to this, and then I'm just going to take a picture of it, which I think a lot of people do. And then they have these takeaways, and they've got this beautiful kind of companion piece to go along with the talk itself.
Right. Yeah. So, certainly it does seem that people are very attracted to visual storytelling. I mean, that's infographics, right? Has exploded, you know, in the last, you know, in fact, it's almost imploded in some ways, but it's exploded, you know, and people are a lot of people are visual learners. The majority of people are visual learners. So when I'm capturing that essence of the presentation and I'm combining it, you know, again, with these little graphic metaphors, I am not an illustrator. So, you know, I firmly believe anybody can do this, quite frankly, but, you know, I, and Mike Rodis, who I think we'll talk about too, you know, mm-hmm, in terms of sketch notes, you know, he firmly believes everybody can do this as well, but sort of coming back it's really listening, active listening, making sure you let go of the idea that you're going to capture everything, because you're not. You're going to make spelling mistakes, and so you can come back. The Chris Guillebeau one was great because it was a whiteboard. I could go back if I made a spelling mistake and easily correct it later. But you're really trying to kind of get those nuggets of information, the things that stand out that you go, oh, yeah. Now, when I'm doing it, it's really interesting for me because I actually can't internalize. I feel like I'm deflecting. So the information comes in my ear and goes out my hand, out my pen. And I actually really do find that I have to go back and read the presentation in order to get it.
Right.
Because I'm spending so much time deflecting and just kind of, you know, translating. So that's my experience. I'm not sure if every graphic recorder or graphic journalist is like that, but that's certainly my experience. And so when I'm actually working in sketch notes, and this is where I think people can do it themselves at meetings, is that, you know, you just let go of that idea, right, that you're going to capture it all. You know, just have a couple of pens in front of you, a big fat one, you know, with a nice contrast color, maybe a black pen, to in order to take the smaller notes, and you just start by, you know, just, you know, put a title on it, and you can do that ahead of time, but just listen for those nuggets and just go in and try and kind of create containers to a certain extent for the information too. I think that's another part of it, is that I'm not writing a long across a board. I'm putting things, there might be two or three words in one line at the most. So things get kind of visually containerized. And then, you know, you can link things, or, you know, so there's somebody said this and then somebody said that. Well, that's really easy to link with an arrow. And, you know, there's super, super simple icons for drawing people. And, you know, you can put a bubble around something. You can put a cloud around something. You can go in and highlight it later. But when I do sketch notes, I'll use just two pens. The, you know, say a blue and a black. I always use I love the Staedtler 0.3 black pen. It's got such a beautiful line. So I use those two. And then I'll go back after and read over my notes and, you know, bring in a highlighter pen, maybe an orange or a yellow or something, and then highlight it. But it gives me that opportunity to kind of revisit the information that I have received from whoever it is.
You know, I'm looking at one of the images you sent me, which is a talk I did in October of 2016, where I spoke to a local business group. And I mean, just I spoke for what? How long was I up there? An hour, I think?
Yeah, maybe 45 minutes.
Maybe 45 minutes. And it's just, there's just so much that's there. I'm looking at it right now. And it's just so mm-hmm. well done. How long? I mean, you're obviously, I guess... I was reading, and I've written about this too, Sarah Lewis's book, The Rise, and she talks about the difference between success and mastery, right? You know, success is doing something once, but mastery is knowing that, you know, having that knowledge, but knowing that you can do it again and again and again and again. Mm-hmm. This is something that's an ongoing process for you. This is like a journey, really, right? Because, I mean, you're mm-hmm. always going to try to make it, you know, you're when you look at one of these, are you like how I am with writing, or even when I was doing stage work or when I do a talk, I'm like, you know what? That was, I could have done that different, or I could have done that better. Like, do you find that?
Absolutely. I'm looking at the same image right now, and I must admit there's parts to me that are just going, oh man, why did I do that? Why am I like, there's not enough white space on that particular piece of paper for me. I mean, that's so, yeah, there's anyway, I absolutely, it's about honing your craft. There's no question. And it's funny because I mean, so what I did for you in that meeting in October, that for me is a sketch note.
Yes.
It's the piece of paper is on my lap or on the table. I'm working, I'm sitting down, versus graphic recording, which is what I did at Social Media Camp for you, which is I'm up at the wall with a, you know, 4 by 6 foot or 6 by 8 foot piece of paper. So that's graphic recording at the wall. Sketch notes, it's more personal, and it's right. more in a book.
Right. And so you obviously know Mike Rohde's work. Mike's a friend. Actually, as he's one of the guys that I was talking to earlier about a newsletter that I wrote, and he's actually one of the people that emailed me personally to lend some support, which I thought was fantastic.
Nice.
The whole movement of like the sketch note army and all that stuff that's going on, like, how awesome is that? Like, the fact that there's two books out there that I'm looking at, I have them on my shelf. Mike's gifted them to me. I want to take that on, right? So, like, you know me, I'm like I talk about you can start the year you want anytime you want, you know?
Right.
Where does one start if they want to do this? I mean, obviously, you can look in the books themselves, and we'll have links to that. But where did you start when it came to this? Like, where did you say, okay, this is what I'm going to do, and then, you know, build it out from there? Is there any particular tactics, or is it just kind of like you get just getting the ball rolling and doing consistently is kind of the earmark of how you can get better and better at it?
Definitely doing it. is the key, right? Is practicing and anything, whether it's a sport or doing podcasts. I'm sure the mm-hmm. podcasts you did initially, you would look back and go, oh my God.
Yes.
So, you know, maybe I'm wrong, but
no,
we all learn by doing. So for me, I mean, in my 20s, I took a lettering class. I took a calligraphy, italic lettering class. And because I always liked letters. And so I learned how to do kind of good letter forms. So that for me was actually a very early start in this. And then, as I mentioned, you know, as a landscape architect, you know, we have lots of conferences and meetings and presentations that, we go to. And, you know, I was always taking my notes with a couple of pens in my hand, or even if I just had one pen, I was always varying the size of my letters and fiddling around. Because quite frankly, you know, writing down everything that somebody says at a conference is the most boring thing you can do. Mm. And so originally, you know, these notes that I took were actually really sketch notes when I look back at them. And I don't know if you've ever heard of a woman named Eva Lotta Lamb.
No, but she was
the first person that I had ever heard of who used the term sketch notes. And I remember when I saw her book, I looked at it and went, oh my God, I'm doing sketch notes. I had no idea. And it was really just a matter of kind of, it, for me in some ways, kind of pulling a few different things, an interest in letters and letter forms, and also, just an interest in the world that I was experiencing, which was the landscape architectural and planning world. And, you know, these fascinating conferences that I'd go to, and I'd want to remember and reflect back on the information that I was receiving. I knew if I didn't take notes, I'd forget. And if I took traditional notes, I'd never read them.
Right.
And that was really a key for me. So, when I first saw her book, because she's put out a few different books, she goes to a lot of different design UX type conferences and takes sketch notes. And then she just takes all her notes and publishes them in a book. And there's no, like, it's not at all like Mike's work, right? Where it's like, here's how you do it.
Right.
You know, it's just here's an example of what this looks like. But she's in Germany, I believe, and she teaches classes and things like that. But, I'm in Mike's second book, you know.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, I'm in the travel section. I'm just looking, flipping to see which page it is. Here it is. It's on page 114.
We'll have to definitely link to that. I was asked, like Mike said, do you have any examples of stuff? Because I dabbled in it a little bit.
Yeah.
I wasn't good enough to make the cut of the book. My friend David Sparks has made, like, there's several people in there that I know. No, Mike's a great guy. I have to say I'm a very visual person, you know, like actually as we're, you know, we use Trello and Asana. Like I love the boards idea when it comes to certain things. I also like lists, obviously, but I'm very much into the, you know, I mean, obviously when you're looking, I'm looking at my Now Year calendar, which has very visual things. I love using like 3M products that have the ability for me to do whiteboarding and all that stuff. So the digital stuff comes in later. Now, do you use digital very much? Because I want to talk a little bit before we wrap up about like some of your productivity habits, specifically about the bullet journal. But let's talk a little bit about kind of whether or not do you use like a hybrid approach, or do you mainly stick to the analog sense of things when you're kind of building and the kind of work that you do?
For my graphic work, I do both. So if I'm at an event live, then I'm just using the pen and paper.
Right.
But I certainly, when I'm doing some of the personal stories and the travel stories and also business stories, you know, if I'm doing something for somebody, I mean, I was just finished doing some work for Jordan Bauer, the strategic mm-hmm. storyteller. I think you had a podcast with him.
He's been on the show too.
Yeah. So we just did some work where we created some visual graphics that he will use in his workshops, but then they can also be, they were also incorporated into some, a promotional booklet basically. And so you know, I've created three of my own fonts that I use. So when I'm working, I can also incorporate that hand look, but then it becomes a file that's much more easy to edit. Mm-hmm. So that's, you know, certainly for, I've done a number of different projects for different clients where, you know, we've initially done something by hand. That's kind of helps because I can do that reasonably quickly. Right. And then you can kind of look at it and go, yeah, okay, this, we're on the right track here. And then, you know, then we turn it into a digital format. We, also, you know, in some cases we're getting Word doc information from somebody, you know, I mean, I did some work with, for a number of years with Thrifty Foods, our local mm-hmm. grocer here. And, you know, they would just send me, you know, 8 or 10 pages of text. And then we would combine that with sketches and use a hand looking font, like a hand drawn font, and create a booklet. This was to their staff to communicate to their staff. Their staff were never reading any of the information they were sending them. And they started doing these little accordion hand drawn booklet type things. And everybody reads it now.
Wow.
So it's, yeah, it's just really interesting to see, because I think, you know, the world of photographs and text, you know, that style, that very graphic style, it's just everywhere. And so, you know, you have to differentiate yourself, right? And mm-hmm. and so businesses are finding that that's a way, by combining that kind of human touch of the sketch, then you can, then you can, you know, get that same feel, but you can still create an editable file.
Let's talk about it. You know, something that you use that you know, we both know quite a bit about, bullet journal, the bullet
journal.
Oh
yeah. I love the bullet journal.
So we're going to dive into this as we get close to wrapping up the episode, sure. But I want to walk through. So the interesting thing about the bullet journal is obviously it's very analog, right? And
yes, you know,
obviously you're going to link to this in the show notes, and Ryder's put together a really, I mean, I've had the opportunity to speak to Ryder before as well. But he's created some kind of, you know, a phenomenon really when it comes to this thing, especially in the productivity space. But I've seen your bullet journal. In fact, there's, you know, if you know, there'll be links to it in the show notes as well to see what it like. You're able to combine the artistry that you've kind of crafted, your own finesse, your own style. You know, if you want to look at the idea of line, speed, and beauty, you certainly have captured that with your bullet journal. I don't want to get into the specific tweaks that you've done, because I think I want to save that for a bit of bonus material. But let's talk about like your layout and why you've gone with the bullet journal. And then maybe for some bonus content for my Patreon supporters, you'll dive into maybe a bit more of the nuts and bolts of some of the modifications you made.
Sure.
So why the bullet journal, and what's so appealing for it in terms of why you use it?
Well, the one thing about the bullet journal that has saved me, I think, and I've been using it now, this is my second year, is that I can see everything in one place. And, you know, I've got my to-do list there. I've got the things I want to focus on in the future. I've got, you know, thoughts, random thoughts that come into my mind can get dumped there. I can see my calendar all in one place. And I use the calendar on my phone, on my iPhone, to make appointments, but I wasn't finding that. Well, two things. One is I was always nervous that if mm-hmm. something ever happened to that, I would lose. And it happened to me once and I lost all my appointments.
Ugh.
Yeah, it was more than it was pretty, it was a bad scene. And so
I want to keep this clean for podcast purposes.
Exactly. But yeah, it was really, oh man. And so this allows me to kind of have a second place to kind of dump it, and also to see it in a kind of a whole. And so, yes, I find that, I must admit, that's the one place that the bullet journal is a little bit time consuming, is that I do need to make sure that when I make appointments on my phone, if I'm out and I don't have my bullet journal with me, which I usually do, but I don't, you know, if I make an appointment when I'm out, I don't forget to put it in the book, right? Mm. So that's the only place where I kind of feel like I'm doing a little bit of double duty. But everywhere else, it's just a gift. I mean, I just think it just has helped me to be so much more productive, so much clearer about where, what I can actually accomplish. I used to have these ridiculous to-do lists that were so unachievable. And now because of the size of it too, I can, it's just more compact. I'm more realistic. If I see that this week is full, I just add it to the next week. Especially if it's not something that's urgent, right?
Right.
And also the other key thing I think for me is that I'm often thinking about, oh yeah, I need to email that person. Oh, I need to phone that person. This is where that goes. And that in itself has just been a huge, huge godsend because again, I was writing that stuff onto my phone and then I don't know, it wasn't working for me. And I like my phone, but I'm also, you know, I like having both. I really like having both. And the one thing I've also started doing with my bullet journal, and I was inspired in September, which is like you, is kind of the first of my year. I decided, okay, I'm going to rethink how I do my bullet journal. I'm just going to look at what other people are doing. And so I did a bunch of research and looked at a whole bunch of examples. And so then I developed the latest version that I have based on that. And one of the things that I decided to add was a tracking template where I'm tracking things like, you know, okay, what exercise did I do today? You know, did I read today? Did I have any alcohol today?
So like a habit tracker.
Exactly. Yes. Habit tracker. Yeah. And just those things that I want to be doing. And I'm really, really clear that I'm not using it to give myself any guilt whatsoever. It's well, just about being interested, you know?
The great thing about adding that feature alone is I talk about journaling with the methodology that I teach, method. You can combine that journaling into one. So now everything lives in one place.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Because you don't even need to write a journal entry. If your journal entry consists of, did I do this? Yes or no? Actually, like, you know, I mean, you can, it's a running journal. It's basically a running, it's kind of like the great thing about the bullet journal that I like is it's a paper-based app.
Yes.
That's really like to break it down really to its is. Most. Yeah.
Now, yeah, absolutely.
Now to, I'd be remiss if I didn't wrap up with this, but you've added some elements of the now your method to your bullet journaling, right? Because you've seen me speak a number of times and eventually I'm able to drill some of this stuff home if you see me often enough. What are some of the things that I've talked about that you've incorporated into it before we draw this episode to a close?
Yeah. So there's kind of two key things. One is the daily theming. That's been really helpful. So I do, you know, my Monday, basically every day of the week is themed. The other thing that I have incorporated, and I think this is from the now year, but I sort of think of it as also coming from CC Chapman is my focus words.
Right. Actually, yeah. CC, Chris Brogan actually came up with that initially, but CC is one of the people that like it kind of Chris started it and then it kind of has spread like wildfire across the internet.
Yeah. So I always like, so for me this year, my three focus words are clarity, connections, and accomplish. Mm-hmm. So accomplish and connections are two of the categories in the lower part of my bullet journal. So I have the calendar part on the top and then on the lower part of the page, I have the accomplish and connection. So I'm just constantly kind of remembering and connecting back to that. And I figure the clarity just goes through having the whole thing all together. So,
awesome.
And certainly, you talked about the journaling. That's actually something that, we're recording this in early December. My plan is for January is to start doing that on an active basis, that daily journaling and just asking, you know, myself some key questions every day and just really trying to drill down to, you know, getting to the core of, you know, my accomplishments and my productivity and, you know, where I want to be in life. I mean, all of this stuff fits together in terms of, it's not just business, it's life. And, so
awesome.
I have a category for home and personal on my daily week as well, or my weekly list as well.
Awesome.
It's all tied together.
Well, yeah. And then again, the bullet journals, you have, I mean, I wrote about Ubiquity not too long ago, having all that stuff in one place is really ubiquitous.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Deborah, this has been awesome. Thanks so much. Obviously, for those who are Patreon supporters, there's more of you over on the Patreon side of things. If you want to become a supporter, head over to patreon.com/productivityist, and you'll be able to join us there. Thanks again so much, Deborah, for being on the show today. Where can people find you online so that they can follow up with your work and keep in touch with you?
Yeah, thanks, Mike. It's been really a pleasure. So my company is called Visual Life Stories. So it's visuallifestories.com is my website. And I'm also on Twitter sometimes, and at Deborah LaFranc and at Visual Life Story. And I'm on Facebook. I have a Facebook page as well.
So, awesome.
Yeah.
Thanks so much, Deborah.
I also do a newsletter that I send out every three, as sort of a visual newsletter every 3 weeks. So, I'd love for people to join in, and, I always share different stories, from either work I'm working on or things that I'm running into. And like you, always want to share more than I ask. So,
awesome.
It's fun.
Well, thanks so much, Deborah. I'll make sure that all that stuff's in the show notes. Take care. We'll talk soon.
Great. Thanks so much, Mike.
I strongly encourage you to check out Deborah's work. It's fascinating stuff. There's a bonus episode that I did for Patreon supporters where she talks about the bullet journal in more detail. If you are a Patreon supporter, you can check that out. Either it may, by the time you're listening to this, it's already out, or maybe you've not had a chance to look at it, but give it a listen. And if you're not a Patreon supporter, you could do that now. Go to patreon.com/productivityist to learn about all the perks, get the bonus episodes, the two bonus episodes I deliver every single week, as well as become part of the exclusive Slack community where ideas, exchanges, stories are all happening there in that Slack community. Deborah is a great person. I really want to thank her for being on the show this week. I want to thank all of you for listening as well. And I want to thank my podcast producer, John Polster. I recently uploaded like a whole bunch of podcast episodes for him to do while I was traveling, and he came through in spades. That's it for this week's episode. Thanks to Deborah for joining me. Thanks to all of you for listening. And until next time, I'm Mike Vardy, the founder of Productivityist and the host of the Productivityist podcast, reminding you to stop guessing and start going.